The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! People, you know, I once had a reader refer to me as a Cassandra, and he did not mean that in a good way. Generally, a Cassandra is a derogatory term for someone who is constantly predicting doom and gloom. But actually, his metaphor may have been more accurate than he realized. Just not in the way that he meant it. But you see, Cassandra was a Trojan priestess who was cursed by the god Apollo with being able to see the future. But then to have no one believe her when she tried to warn them about impending catastrophes. The thing about Cassandra, though, is that her predictions always came true. Another indication that things in this country are getting both truly screwy and truly scary is that lately I keep finding myself agreeing with the Republicans whilst simultaneously wanting to throw things at the Democrats. So Congress recently held hearings on censorship in social media, one of my pet issues. They questioned Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger, both of whom are known as being, quote, far left, unquote. Yet both of whom are also known free speech advocates. yet it was the Republicans who heaped praise upon their work, while the Democrats grilled and questioned and generally attacked the credibility of these two leading and multiple award-winning journalists. Debbie Wasserman Schultz used the oldest trick in the book by attempting to simply avoid the message by attacking the messenger. And Ms. Schultz, one of the most corrupt members of an utterly corrupt Congress, attacked the credibility of one of the most important and respected journalists of the 21st century thus far. The Democrats kept asking complex and nuanced questions and then insisted upon either a yes or no answer, when a simple yes or no answer was completely inappropriate to the question. The Democrats either tried to deny that there was censorship happening at all, or that whatever censorship might be happening was being done for our own good. Talk about famous last words. The Democrats also kept going back to Russian interference in the 2016 election and the need to defend against such things. This, in spite of the fact that almost every aspect of the Great Russian Conspiracy was totally discredited, and all that was actually proven was that the Russians spent a few $100,000 on social media ads in a campaign that literally spent billions. That is literally about the same proportion as a drop in a bucket of water. Or in a bucket of slime, in this case. Did you know that from 1998 to 2003, a civil war raged in the Congo that killed over 6 million people? I suspect you didn't know that, since the American media completely ignores anything that happens in Africa. Imagine the media coverage is some kind of civil unrest in a European country were to kill even a few dozen people, much less 6 million. In 2007, the United States formed the United States Africa Command, or AFRICOM. You may remember I warned Africans a while back that they needed to cover their backsides, because the formation of AFRICOM meant that the United States was about to start, quote, bringing democracy, unquote, to a lot of African countries. And they not only have indeed been doing that, but the United States has been secretly supporting all kinds of nastiness all over Africa with virtually no media coverage. Did you know that last November, 9 months after the outset of the U.S. proxy war with Russia in Ukraine, the U.S. lost a two-year proxy war in Ethiopia that cost hundreds of thousands of lives and displaced more than 5 million people? Yes, I'm speaking of the recent civil war in Ethiopia, commonly called the Tigray War. And the U.S. proxy in that war was the Tigray People's Liberation Front. Don't they always have such nice names? In 2020, the TPLF, who at that point had been the U.S. proxy in the area for decades, and who, through holding one sham election after another, had been dominating Ethiopia for that entire time, finally lost an election in spite of their corruption and in spite of their American support. However, with U.S. help and encouragement, the TPLF attacked the new government, thus launching this civil war. And all of this was done with almost complete media silence about the actual facts of the matter. But fortunately, we have reporters such as Ann Garrison, an independent journalist based out of Northern California. Her writing has appeared in the Black Agenda Report, the Gray Zone, and the San Francisco Bay View. She is also a co-producer of the Pacifica radio program, COVID, Race, and Democracy. Ms. Garrison traveled to Ethiopia and to Eritrea in 2022 to investigate conditions there firsthand. And according to Ms. Garrison, quote, there are hundreds of thousands of people dead and over 5 million people displaced in a war that went on for 2 years, and the U.S. was absolutely central to what happened. By backing its proxy force, the TPLF, in an aggressive war that began in November of 2020. The best way to understand the U.S. involvement is to understand that the U.S. exploited ethnicity here in order to dominate the Horn of Africa. Now, there are 3 countries sitting next to one another on the geostrategically important Horn of Africa. Those are Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Somalia. And in 2018, those 3 countries formed a regional alliance. Now, this alliance included cultural exchanges and regional cooperation in economic trade. And these new alliances gave this region, which had been fraught with conflict, more hope for peace than it had seen in decades. However, this was much more independence than the United States was willing to put up with. The U.S. simply seems utterly incapable of tolerating anyone anywhere in the whole world trying to raise an independent head in any manner. Especially if there is some sort of strategic interest, which in the case of Ethiopia and Somalia, such interests involve both oil and the transport of oil. Somalia alone has 5 ports right in the middle of this strategic area. In addition, Ethiopia is the 2nd most populous country in Africa, and it also had the fastest growing economy before the Americans came around. It is also arguable that a lot of this conflict has been about the emergence of an energy superpower with Ethiopia's construction of the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, the largest dam in Africa and the seventh largest in the world. One of the greatest challenges in Africa is electricity poverty. And Ethiopia is contracting to sell energy downstream, as well as the potential to provide electricity throughout Ethiopia itself. There is also the fact that Ethiopia repelled Italian invaders in the Battle of Adwa in the late 19th century, meaning that Ethiopia is the only country in all of Africa that was never formally colonized by a European power. They stayed that way until the United States came to town with their indirect form of imperialism and set up a puppet government to do its bidding. Another factor at play here is that Ethiopia never had direct access to any ocean ports until this new agreement with Somalia and Eritrea. Now, Ethiopia has direct access to several very fine ports. Now, Eritrea is also very important in this story, as Eritrea is kind of like the Cuba of Africa. However, Anne Garrison went to Eritrea, and she loved it. She said, quote, "It was so peaceful. It was so beautiful. I never saw anyone begging on the streets. I never saw anyone sleeping on the streets. And I never once clutched at my pocketbook." Everyone who actually goes to Eritrea says much the same thing. It's a very poor country, but it's very egalitarian. And as a result, it has a very relaxed feel, as all egalitarian societies tend to do. You don't see huge displays of either wealth or of poverty. And it's pursuing a step-by-step, steady-as-you-go development path. Many people say that Eritrea is the only truly independent country in Africa because it is one of only two countries that do not collaborate with AFRICOM. And equally important, Eritrea does not have any IMF or World Bank debt, for the simple reason that Eritrea never took out any loans from the IMF or the World Bank. Their neighbors, Ethiopia and Somalia, on the other hand, both suffer heavily from IMF debt. However, if you read anything about Eritrea in the Western press, they will say it is the worst place in the world. What coverage the Civil War did receive in the Western press usually consisted of trashing Eritrea for assisting the Ethiopian government against the TPLF. But the reason Eritrea help Ethiopia was because the TPLF started firing upon Eritrea at the very outset of the war. The fact that Eritrea was brought into the war enraged the West, because Eritrea has particularly competent security forces, and because they simply hate Eritrea due to its lack of dependence upon the West. The idea of Ethiopia and Somalia being allied with the Cuba of Africa, that was really threatening to the West. And, just as was the case with Cuba, they have been trying to unsuccessfully isolate Eritrea for decades now. Then, to exacerbate things even further, Eritrea recently met with the Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, about Russia possibly using Eritrean ports on the Red Sea for whatever purposes the Russians might find for such a vitally strategic port. As soon as the TPLF started this war, the Tigray genocide meme began to appear on the social media, and all of the leading lights of the genocide industrial complex began popping up everywhere on the media machine. CNN ultimately won an Emmy for reporting upon the impending Tigray genocide, in fact. Even though the Tigray genocide was almost wholly a myth. Yes, and when this narrative meme of Tigray genocide appeared, the people on the Horn were immediately terrified that they were going to be the next Libya or the next Syria. Because the United States first destroyed Libya, which does not have a functioning government to this day. And after destroying Libya, the United States bombed Syria back nearly into the Stone Age. And all of those actions were also based upon the pretense that they were, quote, preventing genocide, unquote. And yes, the Holocaust industrial complex is a key part of the genocide industrial complex, as this is invariably the justification used for the brutal oppression of the Palestinians in general, and anyone who criticizes Zionism in particular. And of course, accusations of genocide were also used to justify the Yugoslavian intervention back in the 1990s. And charges of genocide are being leveled against the Russians today. And of course, in addition to false flag pretenses, anytime the United States is involved in some nasty intervention, there are all kinds of other lies, misdirection, and gaslit BS dominating the media. For instance, there were widespread reports in the Western media about a famine in Tigray. And it was reported that humanitarian aid to Tigray was being blocked by the Ethiopian government. However, when Ann Garrison saw convoy after convoy of aid headed into Tigray, she stopped numerous truck drivers and questioned them about being denied entrance into Tigray. And every single one of those truck drivers reported that they had been entering and leaving Tigray with no problems of any kind. Yes, anytime you start hearing talk from the Western powers about the international community needing to, quote, take responsibility, unquote, for some atrocity that may or may not actually be real, then this is one of the surest signs that military intervention is inevitable. However, the U.S. was thwarted in its efforts to bring democracy to Ethiopia when China and Russia, backed up by every single country in the entire continent of Africa, blocked a resolution in the UN to intervene into Ethiopia. Yes, people, this is an ongoing story. So stay tuned. And in the meanwhile, it's time now to take a station break. We'll be back in just a minute.
This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way, so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
So David Axelrod told an interesting anecdote about Barack Obama. In 2009, right in the middle of the battle over affordable health care, Obama asked an advisor what that advisor thought the chances of the Affordable Health Care Act passage were. The advisor, in return, asked Obama how lucky he felt, to which Obama replied, "I'm a black man named Barack Hussein Obama, and I'm the president of the United States." And for those of you who think that the handmaid's tale could never happen in America, you do understand that several states are now passing hate laws that are targeting some of our most vulnerable children. Right? And for those of you who think fascism could never come to America, you do understand that our entire government is supported through a system of bribes that are euphemistically referred to as campaign contributions. right?
Now,
they claim that these campaign contributions are not corruption because there is no quid pro quo. Instead, they put the quo before the quid, thus making it quo pro quid. And therefore, that makes everything all right. And meanwhile, evidently, the big debate amongst the top elites these days is whether they should build their survival bunkers in Alaska or New Zealand. They are also reportedly deeply concerned about how to prevent their security guards and their serfs from turning on them once they are all locked inside their pods without any outside support. Try them a freaking river. So as usual, the most interesting aspect to the exoneration of Muhammad A. Aziz and Khalil Islam, the two men who were wrongly convicted for the murder of Malcolm X, was not the two men spent decades in prison for something they did not do. That is actually quite commonplace. Nor is it particularly noteworthy that the FBI, from J. Edgar on down, knew full well that these two men were completely innocent the whole time. And in fact, the FBI conspired with the New York Police Department to conceal the evidence that proved their innocence. Anyone who studies cases such as these knows that this is pretty much standard operating procedure. In cases that involve prominent dissidents. Yes, think Leonard Peltier. Think Mumia Abu-Jamal. Or think Assata Shakur. Think MOVE. Think Fred Hampton. Think even Ken Kesey and Timothy Leary. And then think about the fact that what was done to those people was done in the full light of journalistic scrutiny, since those were all famous people. And then think what happens to all the non-famous people that they're able to railroad without anyone except the victims and their families even really noticing.
No, the most interesting aspect to this particular case is that the machine is actually admitting it. So, I cannot think of any other such politically prominent and explosive case in all American history where their machine has publicly admitted that they intentionally railroaded innocent men into prison for political reasons. So I don't know what that says or what it will mean from here on out, but this can't be anything but a very good thing. For you see, vampires cannot withstand sunlight. So, what's next? Are they finally going to admit that it was a cabal of very powerful people orchestrated by Allen and Dulles, the CIA head who John F. Kennedy fired, who then turned around and assassinated John F. Kennedy, and then headed the investigation into that assassination and everything but name? Well, I don't think I would hold your breath waiting for that to happen. Anyway, we will have much more on the subject of government perfidy in criminal investigations. And by that, I mean cases where it is the criminals who are doing the investigating. Well, check out the April 7th show for a lot more about that. And that brings us to the end of the news and commentary section for this week's show. And now it's time for some music to fill out the hour. You know, Harry Belafonte died last week. And I was thinking of playing some Harry Belafonte music, but I don't have any of his music in my library. And I've used up all my data on my data plan for this month, so I don't have enough to download any of his music. My parents were actually big fans of Harry Belafonte, so I literally grew up listening to him. And while I like Mr. Belafonte's music, he would not be one of my top 10 favorites musically, but he might well be one of my top 10 favorite people for his activism and his humanitarian work, and for his vital yet rarely acknowledged role in the civil rights movement. He was a good friend of Martin Luther King Jr. and financially and spiritually and emotionally gave a lot of assistance to Mr. King. So while I don't have any Harry Belafonte music, I do have some other political music. So let's go with some political songs. This is David Rovics. Enjoy.
I was at the climate change protests in Bonn while all the leaders of the world were gathering to discuss how not to save it. And they got a 1% reduction in emissions. It's wonderful. The protest was really great, even as we were all losing, which is the kind of nice thing, or the kind of strange thing, I guess, about being on the left, is that there's so many wonderful people, and all these wonderful protests with these wonderful folks, and we all get together to sort of lose. But, you know, maybe we'll win eventually. But we have fun anyway, when the cops aren't beating us too much. There were these folks from England who, I think, they really embodied the fun of the whole protest scene. They came with a bicycle known as the Rinky Dink. And the Rinky Dink was this thing that it had two bicycles on the back and two in the front and then a tandem in the middle. And the two in the back and the two in the front moved the thing forward. The tandem in the middle, when you pedaled that, it powered a generator. And between the electrical generator, bicycle-powered generator, and the two solar panels over the hood that was covering the thing and the windmill on top, that powered a sound system radio station. And the windmill, of course, was mounted on a radio antenna, which constantly blew soap bubbles. And it seats like eight adults, I guess. Six adults and like 30 children. There's child seats all over the place. And it's all day-glow and beautiful. And so, you know, they'll pull up, and they're an immediate spectacle. I mean, for somebody like me who really hates to book gigs and hates to do anything organizational like that, it would be the perfect vehicle because you just show up and you play, and everybody shows up and listens because you look so strange. The really sort of shocking thing is when you're playing a concert through the sound system, and then it's being broadcast like by people riding around on their bicycles with little speakers and stuff, because they can all pick it up on the radio station. And you know that anytime these two guys behind you stop pedaling, the sound goes out. So I wrote this song to encourage them to keep pedaling. It's a pedal-powered radio station. It'll fire up your imagination. It's a sound system. It'll make you dance. Might make you jump right out of your pants. Traveling roadshow microphone with a bicycle seat as the throne. When you see it, you'll agree it's right there on your frequency. It's the rinky-dink, the rinky-dink. When you're feeling on the brink, it'll make you laugh. It'll make you think. I'm talking about that rinky-dink. The soap's a bubbling, breeze is blowing, ain't no telling where it's going. Windmill swinging with the tribe, it's that day glow solar vibe. Stop a riot, it's been done, they'll part the clouds and bring the sun. It don't matter where you've been, just sit on down and tune right in. It's a rinky dink, the rinky dink, just might be the missing link. It'll make you nod, it'll make you wink, I'm talking about that rinky dink. They'll come rolling through your town. You might go up and never come down. It's the cure for air pollution. It's the rinky-dink solution. Folks will wonder, folks will stare. Kids will jump into their chair. When they go, you know the rub. Drop a quid into the tub. It's the rinky-dink, the rinky-dink. It'll ease up any kink. It'll ease up any kink. Talking about that rinky-dink. The rinky-dink, the rinky-dink. It'll make your troubles shrink. It'll ease up any kink. No, there's something else there. Lots of things rhyme with dink. It would give those folks something to drink. Turn the pedals, clackety clink. I'm talking about that rinky dink.
Today, my body was a TV'd massacre. Today, my body was a TV'd massacre that had to fit into sound bites and word limits, filled enough with statistics to counter measured response. So I perfected my English, and I learned all my UN resolutions. I perfected my English, and I learned all my UN resolutions, but still, he looks me straight in the eyes and asks me, Ms. Ziada, wouldn't everything be resolved if you Palestinians would just stop teaching so much hatred to your children? Pause. I look inside of me for strength to be patient. I look inside of me for strength to be patient, but patience is not at the tip of my tongue as the bombs drop over Gaza. Patience has just escaped me. Pause. Remember to smile. Rafif, you're on camera. Remember to smile. Remember to keep it together. Pause. We teach life, sir. We teach life, sir, after they have occupied the last skies. We teach life, sir, after they have built their settlements and their apartheid walls. After the last skies. We teach life, sir. But today, today my body was a TV'd massacre that had to fit into sound bites and word limits. And they need a hook. They tell me every journalist needs a hook. They need a personal story, just a human story. How about you give us a story of a woman from Gaza who needs medication, just medication. Shh, we're not speaking about that word occupation. Don't mention that word apartheid, just medication. How about you give us a story of a woman from Gaza who just needs medication? Maybe she can be pretty. Maybe she can speak English without an accent. Just a human story, a human story. This is not political, you see. How about you? How about you? Do you have enough bone, broken limbs to cover the sun? Hand me over your dead, hand me over your dead, and give me the list of their names, but make sure that it's in 1,200 word limits. Today, my body was a TV'd massacre that had to fit into sound bites and word limits. It was made to hook those that are desensitized to terrorist blood, but they felt sorry. They felt sorry for the cattle over Gaza, so I give them statistics and UN resolutions, and I speak their language. I give them statistics and UN resolutions, and I speak their language. We condemn, we deplore, we reject, we condemn, we deplore, we reject. These are not two equal sides, occupier and occupied. These are not two equal sides, colonizer and colonized. And 100 dead, 200 dead, 1,000 dead. I recount, I recount, I recount, and remember to smile, not terrorist. Remember to smile, not exotic. And I recount, I recount, I recount. 100 dead, 200 dead, 1,000 dead. 100 dead, 200 dead, 1,000 dead. Is anyone out there? Will anyone listen? I wish I could just wail over their bodies. I wish I could just run barefoot in every refugee camp and hold every child, cover their ears so they wouldn't have to hear the sound of bombing for the rest of their life the way that I do. I wish I could just wail over their bodies, run barefoot in every refugee camp and hold every child, cover their ears so they wouldn't have to hear the sound of bombing for the rest of their life the way that I do. 'Cause let me just tell you, there's no soundbite. No matter how good my English gets, no soundbite. No matter how well I practice, no soundbite, no soundbite, no soundbite, no soundbite will bring them back to life, and no soundbite will fix this. We teach life, sir. We teach life, sir. We Palestinians wake up every morning to teach the rest of the world life, sir.
Like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, call, close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song of deep hate. The places you play and where you stay looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers, driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turn stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
That was The Message from Grandmaster Flash and the Furious. Before that, we had We Teach Life from Rafif Ziada. And we started off with the Rinky Dink song from David Rovix. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And you may want to grab a pen or something, because I'm about to give you some information. If you like what you hear here on the Thunderbolt, then the Thunderbolt archives are stored at dana98501.wordpress.com. That's D-A-N-A 98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. And if you would like to continue hearing the Thunderbolt, you can contribute to our cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. And
thank you very much.